Just one. Okay, good.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Mr. Z and Fifth with your host, Zach Kias and the Fifth General.
Hey, what's going on? Good to be here. Good to be here. Definitely good to be here.
All right. Sure. Last episode. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me drop that bomb. We gotta get that tradition. You know what I'm saying? We gotta get that going. Not last week, but last episode. Last episode, we talked about, man, what did we talk about? I'm forgetting.
Sure. Was it the woman that was talking about?
I got it. Why are we not official yet?
Oh,
we were talking about how, we were talking about how women, unfortunately, will sometimes let their emotions guide them on how they want a relationship, but they don't necessarily communicate that up front. So what they do is they live a game of chance to see if this guy is going to be serious about them. So, you know, this season and a little bit of last season, you know, we did a mix of both from the men and women's side. But you know what? I wanted to kind of dive into, as men, are we being unrealistic ourselves, right? Are we asking for too much according to the woman's perspective? Because a lot, what you'll hear is a lot of ladies in the YouTube space say that our requirement, they'll say that our requirements are high. So for the realistic man, you know, and we'll do a couple scenarios. We'll talk about, we will name maybe some men who may be asking for too much or asking for something that they maybe not be required for.
Right. Okay.
And if they're not required for it, what can they do to get that time?
Yes.
Woman or outcome? You're judged by your outcomes.
Yes, you are. Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. So we'll get into that. All right.
Yes.
So we do have someone a guest today. He's actually the first guest outside of our brother Cinema who's been on our show. So
yes,
I'm actually you've introduced me to him, and I'm excited to get this show on the road, and it's nice to have a third perspective. Yes. You know.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It doesn't. It does make things more intriguing. So I'm going to bring him up. All right. There we go. How's it going, Brother Ray? How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Phenomenal, gentlemen. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Definitely a pleasure.
Thank you.
Let me give you a round of applause.
Zacchaeus and I go back over 33 years, and Fifth, I met you through him, so it's an honor.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hey, speak on it more, man. You could speak Zacchaeus on go ahead.
Oh yes. We go back since, I would say, we're telling our age.
Yeah.
1990.
October 1990. October 5th, 1990, to be exact. We met through a mutual friend of ours at the Staten Island Mall.
Yes. A mutual friend we met at the Staten Island Mall. And ever since, we've been connecting ever since. We've been connecting ever since. And it is an honor to have a brother from going way back from beginning of 1990.
Yeah.
High school time to bring it together, to even till this day. This is what, 2024? To even bring it together right now. And we still connect as two brothers, always connected with each other and what's going on. And
absolutely.
So, and just all going through this experience of women, we have a lot to give, and we have to share about our experience with dating, marriage, and everything like that. So.
Yeah, at one time, me and Zacchaeus were in competition as far as who had the craziest experiences. And then in June 2003, I won.
It's an unusual encounter. So, Cliff, he can write a book. Can definitely write a book. It'll be a bestseller. For sure. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And crazy, unusual encounters.
That's I like that.
Oh, my gosh. OMG.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know what? If it relates to this topic, I mean, I would like to kind of hear, you know, a story from you, Ray, or you know, Zacchaeus. And if you want to kind of, you know, give us a little treat on the show pertaining to our topic, and we'll get to that if it plays in. You know what I'm saying? We'll definitely, you know, do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, well, I kind of want to do this. And go ahead, Ray. Go ahead.
Well, it's like this. I mean, my last encounter with a woman when it came to online dating, this is what happened as it relates to our men asking for too much, okay? You ain't going to believe this.
Okay, but, let's start with that. Go ahead.
Okay. I was on this dating site, and I was talking to this woman. A beautiful woman, happens to be Caucasian, and she's younger than me. And we were vibing slowly but surely. And then on the eighth day, I figured since we're doing so well contacting each other, I said, well, let's go to the next step. I gave her my phone number. She says, I don't believe in talking on the telephone. I prefer to text. And I said to her, well, usually,
the next step
after you get to know somebody through online dating is the telephone if we're both mutually vibing. And I don't feel that I'm asking too much when it comes to progression. Apparently, she felt that I did. And she said to me, if you do not want to continue talking through text, I totally understand. And in a bewildered state, I said my piece. I said goodbye. She said goodbye. So apparently, progression in this day and age is asking for too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I can respect that. I'm going to give you a round of applause for that. Because I can respect that. You know? Because... Here's my thing. You know, typically what you hear on the woman's side on the internet is that men are only communicating in text.
Yeah.
And that they're not doing the phone calls.
Yes.
You see that as a common complaint on that side. Here you are, a man, having an encounter with a woman, and she's saying that she is more comfortable with text.
Yeah.
I find that interesting. Zacchaeus, speak to that.
Is this maybe I'm thinking? It's just this era. It's just an unusual and weird era. Maybe the influence of Gen Z. I don't know, but it's just this Texan thing. And for some apparent reason, this grown woman. How old is she, Ray?
She's 33.
Okay, 33. Older. Yeah, she's grown woman. I have to say grown woman. Grown woman, 33 years old. Just want to say,
that's no excuse.
Yeah, she grew up in the era of phone. She grew up in the era of phone talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, now she feels comfortable with text. What kind of relationship is this? And I can't even hear your voice. All I gotta do is communicate by just using words on text. And I mean, oh my gosh, it's listen, we're living on some unusual times, and
I agree.
Are just weird. I mean, just Ray can tell you he has some weird encounters. Just weird. I mean, oh my god! Like that. She don't want to. She's on a dating, online dating. But yet she just want to text. No dialogue. No dialogue. No. Just text. I've heard of things, but that was one of the weird encounters for me that he told me about. Yes. Crazy.
That's crazy. You know what? I'll say this.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have scenarios where you hear a lot of men talking about women being unrealistic and then them asking for too much, you know?
Yeah.
That's a reality that men are running into. That women are running into. But let's break down what would be reasonable or asking for too much, right? So what you're hearing is this 50-50 talk, right? Like a lot of women today, no matter what age they are saying that, you know, regardless of what's going on in the economy, they'll say, you know what? I'm hearing a lot of men wanting to go 50-50, which that's not actually true, right? But they're saying that, right? And so for them, they're saying that us asking for 50%, for the sake of the conversation, men who are wanting to get married, right? They are saying that men are asking for too much when they want 50%. I'll take it a step further. It don't even have to be 50. If you ask for 20%, they'll say that's asking for too much.
20%. Yeah.
You know? So my thing is this. The definition for me too much is asking for something that you can't do in your power. That would be asking for too much. It's something you can't do. So if it's something you can't do, I get it. Then that would be asking for too much. I'm asking for more than what is necessary. That would be asking for too much, in my opinion. But my opinion doesn't matter. In the dating game, when you're approaching, when you're trying to get to know a woman, women, it's really what matters to them. It's what they perceive to be too much, right? So, Ray, you were talking about the Texan, right? That is just scratching the surface. That's nothing. That's small potatoes compared to many other things that they're asking for. So my question is this, right, brother? And I'm going to have Zacchaeus go after you. If a man is asking for 50% of her resources, he got his money, she got her money. Is that, in your opinion, asking for too much? In a marriage.
In a marriage, you know what? I say no, but it also depends on the conversation they should have had going into the marriage. Yeah,
there we go.
Because here's the thing. I was once married, and then I got half of a divorce. But here's the thing about it, though. Me and my ex-wife are very practical. You know, I don't know if you remember a movie called Strictly Business. It came out in 1991. The woman who played Joseph C. Phillips' girlfriend, the thin one, this is what you remember. She said to her girlfriends eating lunch, she said, "I may not be in love with him, but we make a good team." And that's where me and my ex-wife were. So it's like on paper, we talked about finances. We talked about how things were going to be going into the marriage as far as finances, as far as housework and everything. So we had a good cooperation then. And money usually is the one thing that divides people. It causes arguments. It wasn't like that for me and her, because in that sense, she had a business head. I found a practical person in that aspect. So when it comes to a marriage, the talk should have happened prior to the marriage. And if you come across someone who's delusionally entitled, then that's a problem. And what makes you a simp when she expresses her statements and views that show delusional entitlement, that's what takes you from being a man to a simp. But that's your deal. So therefore, it's not asking for too much, but it depends on the conversation y'all had prior. Now, if y'all need to go back to the agreement you had going into it, that's one thing. But you have to come to a mutual agreement. So no, it's not asking too much. No, the percentage ain't asking too much, depending on the conversation prior to the marriage. Bottom line.
Good one. Zacchaeus, you're married.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to say everything personal, but I mean, your perspective. I mean, if it was you, or if you was talking with another brother and he said that he's getting married and he asked his woman for 50% of her salary, you know, because, you know, that was her income is kind of close to where he is, right? You know,
yes,
and it's doable. What would you say? What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is this: when it comes to connecting with each other, that's the main thing. How do you connect? Is it just based on the salaries, or is it based on how you communicate with each other? Are you compatible with each other? That's the main thing, because y'all can have all the finances. She can make him huge finances. He can be making huge finances. And if y'all just don't connect, and what I mean by connect in every aspect, are you comfortable with him? Is she comfortable with you? Do you share everything together, or do you hide things from each other? Mm. Where couples do hide things from each other. Hide things from each other. Do you have a...
Cause you some mean money?
Yeah.
You mean money? You
money? Yeah, money, meaning money or other things too as well. Like some people have like...
You know who's number one at hiding money? Wait, hold on, Zacchaeus, I'm sorry. I just got to do this. You know who's number one at hiding money in a marriage? Go ahead, answer it.
Ladies.
Okay, go ahead, continue. I'm sorry. I just wanted to.
No. I thought you had to get it. Yeah, you just had to get it in there. But Ray is right. Yes, and you know what it is. And when it comes to, and that's what it is. Some women, they won't tell their mates every and everything that they're doing, and I guess vice versa for that too. But when it comes to how, is a matter of how comfortable you are with that. Because some women, I'm gonna just say it like this. Some women, they put their men down, man. I mean, they don't trust them with a lot of things. They're married to them because they have assets together, like a house, they have kids, but that's as far as it goes. But when it comes to like building together and trusting together and building each other up, sometimes that's lacking in a relationship, meaning that it's lacking. The reason why I say it's lacking, because a woman can say that she can have this, she can be building herself up financially, but not adding on. Some people, couples are in competition with each other. They don't believe in this. My money is your money. Your money is your money. They won't.
Like I say,
rub pennies together to make it work. If you know what I mean. By rubbing pennies together to make it work. Then they don't build an empire together. They build it separate. And that's a problem. That's a serious problem. So when it comes down to that, it's about the connection that you have with that person that really makes a big difference. Because if you don't have a connection with your wife and she's hiding certain things from you, or she don't trust you with certain things, that's a big disconnect, and that can cause mayhem, and it could cause secrets to pop out. And I mean in every aspect, finances. We're adults here. Sexual stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
And also, what you want the kids to, what you want to, if you have kids, what you want the kids to get into as well. So, yeah. Yeah.
Check this out, Zacchaeus. You know what I've heard? And there's a popular pastor, he got a sermon about this, where he says, and he's talking about a woman who's working, right? He says that, he says, as the husband, my money is our money, and her money is her money. I know you heard that.
I heard that. Yeah, of course.
Here's the thing. Here's my question to the ladies who adopt that philosophy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, if my money is our money, and your money is your money, but you want to make decisions about things that contain me and you, that you came up with, that you for the sole purpose only want to benefit from, but you don't want to put your money into that? I find that a problem. I'll give you more examples. Your married family has children, let's say 3 children. The wife wants them to go to private school.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All 3 of them to go to private school. Private school is expensive.
Yes, it is. Okay? Yes, it is. Yeah.
Husband is doing all the things that he's taking care of, the home, everything. Everything's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this expense is beyond his means. She's working. She doesn't want to come out of her pocket to send the kids to private school. That's a problem. Because if the husband already said, listen, I want to send my kids, check this out. Okay, baby, we could do this, all right? But we can't afford it. And when he means we, he means him. Because she said, his money's our money, right? Stay with me. But she has been working. She's been saving her money this whole time. She hasn't paid a bill. Hasn't even seen it. Doesn't even know how to spell bill. He spells it wrong. B-I-L-E. Right? So I find it kind of selfish that a mother of 3 kids that the man and wife came together create, he doesn't want to contribute a dime to those kids.
That's strange.
Zacchaeus, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to come in right after you. Zacchaeus, go ahead.
I'm going to say this. People do what's most important to them, so he feels that's not important. That's why he's holding back, withholding that money. He feels that's...
Wait, hold on. That's not what I said. So he can't... I said he can't afford it because his resources are already spread out through everything else.
Oh, yeah.
But she wants them to go to private school. They were going to public school just fine.
Yeah.
But they were going to private school. He said, it's not in my budget.
Oh.
That's what the husband said. He said, it's not in my budget.
Yes.
Right. And she doesn't want to spend the money that she makes to contribute to the family.
She's withholding.
Because she'd rather it come out of his pocket.
Yeah, she's withholding. There she's withholding. So she's withholding because she feels that being a man, he should spend on that. You want the kids to go to private school? They want the kids to get protection? Because really, let's face it, private school is more like it's the same education, but it's more like a protection that you don't want your kids to go to, you don't want your kids to go to the rough schools, the public schools. So you want the kids to go to a private school. So she's telling him, put your money towards that. I'm not going to do it, but let you pay that. So all of a sudden now, you pay that. I thought it was our money together. No, but you pay that. So how's it our money together?
Yeah, I thought it was our children.
Yes, it was exactly. He's supposed to come together and pull the money together to pay it together. You know? But some people feel that, and...
Because you're better together anyway.
You're better together. And Ray, some couples don't get that. Some couples are in, I don't know what it is. Just they say it's our money together, but yet when it's important to them, whatever that's important to them, all of a sudden, no, I'm taking my money. Let's say, for example, now, this is a perfect example. And I know people experience this too. A man wants to take money out. Maybe they have a joint account. I don't believe in joint accounts, but maybe let's say they have a joint account, right? A couple have a joint account. And He wants to take the money
out. People are going to hate you for saying that because you married.
Listen, you have enjoyed it, Colin. and the guy, you know, he just taking the money out to invest in, let's say, maybe Bitcoin. That's the latest thing now, Bitcoin, crypto. And his wife is saying, oh, no, we'll lose that money, which is probably true. We'll lose that money because something about with the Bitcoin and crypto that, you know, I put this money in, I make more money. But she's saying no. But to him, it's important. So that becomes a conflict now because to him is important, but they have the money joined together. And so they discuss it, but it now becomes like a tug of war. I'm going to take it out. No, no. And that's when it comes to like, you know what? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to separate my account. I'm going to just have a separate account so I can take whatever money out. If I lose the money, I lose the money. It's supposed to be in unison together. It's supposed to be money to pool together in unison together to do certain things. But that's not important to her. It's important to him, but it's not important to her. So that's why maybe the joint account thing doesn't work all the time. But I believe that you should have a separate account, but have a joint account together just for the important things, like school. That was an important thing. They should have pooled their money together to put the kids through to school. That was an important thing, you know? So, yeah. Yeah.
Ray, go ahead.
Well, the thing is, this goes back to communication. What you accept and what you tolerate going in and once you're in the marriage. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I believe you said the scenario is his money is their money, her money is her money. Okay. He agreed to that.
Yes.
He agreed to that. So you can't blame her because he agreed. Okay. So times get tough. Now he needs her to put her financial input into this. Now all of a sudden he has a problem. So you see, this goes back to not simply communication, but effective communication. That's what I say. This should have been discussed about foreseeing certain situations happening. Now, I don't understand how, as a wife and mom, you don't want to get out of your comfort zone and dip into your nest egg, your delusionally entitled nest egg, and contribute to your kid's well-being. It makes no sense. But exactly. Again,
come on now.
But again, but here's that's the what thing, I'm talking though. About. But here's the thing, though. I hate to say this. As far as your scenario, in general, you have to understand, he agreed to that at first. And I don't know if they talked about unforeseen circumstances. I don't know if they had the inflation discussion. But you see, when you agree to certain things that may bite you in the butt later, you only have yourself to blame. I am not saying the wife is innocent. I'm not. But at the same time, when you allow certain things to occur that bite you in the butt later, even if he's not blameless, you have to blame yourself because y'all didn't have the talk. So now all of a sudden, you mentally trained your wife to be comfortable with the nest egg that she has. And so in her mind, you have some nerve go into my funds when you train me going into this marriage that what's yours is ours and what's mine is mine. Reverse to the white. Yeah, you have to understand the mental dynamic and the emotional dynamic. So of course she's going to be uncomfortable having to do the right thing for her family because he didn't train her to have the mentality for unforeseen circumstances where she may have to dip into that nest egg and come and do right by her family. So once again, she's not blameless, but he's to blame because you train people how to treat you. You train people how to be in certain situations. Mm-hmm. So she allowed yep. both of them to go into this marriage with the notion that she don't have to touch her money. So of course she's gonna get a human attitude. Oh, now I gotta touch my money. Why? I'm so used to you providing for me. I'm so used to you taking care of all that stuff. Now I gotta dip into my funds. Yeah, I'm gonna throw a fit. I didn't say I agree with her, but I'm saying you have to understand what led to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Ultimately, so Ray, from that perspective, I agree, because as the man, he picked her. But let's just say that was not the scenario. Let's just say they did have the conversation. But mid-marriage, she adopted this philosophy, or maybe she always had this philosophy, but she wasn't upfront about it until later on. So she came into the marriage as we a team, right? That
right.
our money is our money. We one pot. We have a one pot system, right?
Okay.
All of a sudden, her hidden agenda now is being compromised because she's putting money into the marriage that she probably wanted to keep to the side. So what would your opinion be from that perspective? Two people who agreed, hey, we're a family. If you got it, you got it. If I got it, if you got it, we good. If you got it, we good. Not if I got it. We good, and you ain't got to do anything. You know what I'm saying? Not that, but just an actual, you know, he's the husband. He married a woman who presented and sold herself as a helpmate. And now he wants her to be a helpmate about her idea. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, all right. In that case, you're saying they had the conversation now, right? You're saying they had the conversation, right?
Right. They had the conversation. Yeah.
Okay. And she's still being stubborn, right? That's what you're telling me? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that I'm covering the basis. All right, so if she's being stubborn as a wife, then that's a problem. Because you're right, they both had the conversation. They both agreed to certain terms, and now she wants to back out of the deal. Apparently, she didn't understand her role as a helpmeet. Because the thing is, if I got it, you got it. All right, you're on equal footing. So to back out because all of a sudden circumstances are now putting you to the test, the only thing is only true colors will show with time, gentlemen. And if she doesn't deliver on her role as a helpmeet in that, especially in that scenario, then that's a problem. Then in that case, only she's to blame. Yeah. Because it's not a one-sided situation. It was not a one-sided conversation. It was an effective conversation where they mutually agreed to terms. Right. So now she don't want to agree to her terms. That's a problem. Now she's fully to blame.
I want to transition. Still staying within line, but I want to move on to another question. Let's say this, right? Ray, you mentioned earlier that a lot of marriages, and this is actually true, because the facts show it, a lot of marriages do end on finances. Usually the person who ends that marriage and files for that divorce is the wife, right? The stats show it. It's in the 70 percentile. That's high, right? So what is the incentive for men to get married in this day and age, if they're looking at the way how the numbers look, in terms of, because a lot of men look at it this way, well, you know what? We never thought about prenups because our grandfathers came from the happy wife, happy life, mentality, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But back then, divorce rates weren't that high. So you have today's men, today's men in this modern era, they're trying to figure out what is the incentive to get married if this is what she's going to do. If I'm going to be labeled as, you know, I wouldn't say in the asking for too much, but maybe so, you know, but, you know, what is the incentive now? Because men are hearing older men tell them their marriage, AKA war stories, and they're scared, you know? So I want to get your, I want to get your answer, and then, Zach, you go after Ray.
Now, well, as far as the incentive to get married, it's like this. I think the incentive to get married has heavily dropped because of how men and women are being raised, and unfortunately, you have people who are, I wouldn't say fully modern, but it's like half and half. You have the half and half parents that are raising these men and women who are now the modern day men and women. Now, the problem is that because a lot of the women who are raising these women to have that modern way of thinking, unfortunately, it puts men between a rock and a hard place. So I'm not going to say that there's no incentive for a man to get married because if you agree to certain terms as a simp or a man, the incentive still exists, no matter how we the people may feel about it.
Yeah.
Now it's up to you. If you're comfortable playing the role if you're comfortable in the role that singer Jimmy Cozier played when he sang his one hit wonder, "She's All I Got," that's your choice. If you agree to those terms where she's delusionally entitled as a mate and you accept her delusional entitlement as a wife, that's on you. The incentive is there, whether negative or positive, but it's up to you to determine what you will tolerate, what you will accept, what you will put up with, and what you won't. That's up to you. The incentive is there, but you control the incentive. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Cozier's song. Sometimes I love her. I love Nicole. She's all I got.
What happened to Christ? What do you mean she all you got? I always hated that song. And that song came out the year I got married.
And as you can see,
she's still all I got, right? No, I say that to make a point, because it's like when you put your all in a human being, you've already acknowledged self-defeat. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to accept simp terms, that's on you.
Simp terms.
You made a choice. She did not put a gun to your head or a knife to your throat if you accepted those simp terms. And now if that was the case, I understand. But if she didn't do any of those things to threaten you into being a simp, that's on you.
Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Zacchaeus.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead.
Now, on marriage today, and I agree with Brother Ray, man. I mean, When's the last time? I have to ask you, Fifth and Ray. When's the last time you've been to a wedding?
My goodness. If I remember correctly, I think it was 2006.
Oh my gosh. Tito,
I could be wrong, but off the top of my head, in 2006, I was the best man in two weddings that happened 7 months apart. That's the last time I remember.
Wow, 2006. People are not taking marriage.
I take that back. I remember now. Let me answer that
because you asked me. I'll give up. Okay.
It was 2010. I attended the wedding of a friend of ours. Okay.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Ray. Go ahead.
Okay. I attended the wedding of a friend of ours in First Central Baptist Church, and that was in 2010. That was the last wedding I attended. Now I remember. Wow. Thank you. Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay. So the last wedding I've been to, I'm not gonna have the year right, but I'll just say how old I was. So to give people an idea, I'm 36. The last time I went to a wedding, I was it was my cousin's wedding. What year was this? I may have been in my early 30s. So maybe it was within the last five to seven years, maybe, I would say. But I can tell you what I've been invited to more than weddings. I've been invited to more baby showers than weddings. Yeah, I'm going.
Hello. My point exactly.
Zacchaeus, continue, Zacchaeus.
Some of the modern day women want to be mothers. They don't want to get married. They want to be modern day mothers. I met women that say, "Listen, I want to have a baby." They never said, "I want to be married. I want to have a husband." They said, "I want to have a baby." And Ray, you can test to this. I want to have a baby. They say that. They say that. Listen. And you ask them and say, "I just want to have a baby. I just want my two other kids to have a sister or a brother. I want to have a baby." And you ask them like, "Well, oh, would you soon to be husband or your?" No, it's like, no. I didn't say I want to get married. I just want to have babies. So the thing is this: marriage is not really, men are not looking to jump the broom anymore like that, because, and I'll tell you why. Most people concentrate on the living together. Most people concentrate, especially in this modern day and age, from people have been living together from the 1990s to now. There've been people that have been living together 12, 20 years and never been married. They have kids and everything, never been married. So some people don't want to do it. I met a guy that's, 30 years old, said that he'd been together with his girlfriend for the past several years. And he said, you know what? He told his girlfriend that we're not getting married because society said we should get married. So this is where the value of marriage is pummeled. And because of what other men said about marriage, about when they were married, that, oh, I got divorced several times. And I've met some men that say this: "Oh, I don't want to change anything because when we get married, everything changes. Her attitude changes. She's not the same person anymore." So people get kind of cold feet about getting married. So it's becoming like a more people are living together than ever before than tying the knot in this day and age. It just shows. It just...
Well, see...
How much people...
Yeah.
How much people in your circle you said are getting married? How much people did you hear getting married in your circle in 2024? You got to ask yourself, how much people on your job said they're getting married? Or either they're married already, or they're just single, but they're just dating, but they're not, there's no... Nobody is even excited about getting married. It's becoming a thing where, sorry to say, it's almost like a dinosaur thing now. Yeah. We're living in these times, man.
I'm going to say this and then I'm going to hand it to Ray, right? So another thing that you see in this internet space is that, you know, in terms of men asking for too much, you have women who are asking for a long list of things. That laundry list is long. Grocery list. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
They
yes.
want a man, but they'll start off with this though. They want a man to have six figures and up.
Yes.
Right? They want him to be physically fit, six pack, all of that, right? Okay. Yep. They want him to be over 6 feet. Right? Now, that's not that many of the world in that range, right? But those are the three things that they start out with. Then they also want him to be emotionally intelligent. They want him to be available. They want him to be a family man. They want him to be a sexual Olympian. They want him to be their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, their pastor, their confidant, their judge, their everything, right? But then when that man says, okay, I could give you some of that, but are you going to be cooperative? And then are you going to be a submissive wife, they hate that word, that's going to give me peace. They'll say, oh, no, I ain't doing that, but I do want all this stuff I asked you for. Okay. So, Ray, respond to that.
Well, as I said, people make choices. It goes back to, do you want to simp out to that because of desperation and fear of dying alone, which no autopsy ever said a person died because they were alone. If you have that fear, that's on you. And I realized 4 years ago, I really realized my self-worth. And I thought to myself, well, I went through many ups and downs. And I haven't had a relationship since 2008. And I'm still here. And I still can't think of any autopsy that said a person died because they weren't married. A person died because they weren't in a relationship. So here's my thing. If the woman gives that laundry list of things she demands and you fall to that, that's on you. She did not put a gun to your head or a knife to your throat. That's on you because you are too desperate to be by yourself. You would feel it's a shame to be by yourself. You desperately need to be validated by that by a woman like that so much, and you accept her terms. That's not her fault. And if you don't fit the bill of what she's looking for, so what? People make choices. There are people that, as men, we don't see as externally attractive. That's all right. There are people who we are not considered externally attractive by. That's their rights. The only difference is that most men, most of us, the ones who aren't simps, we don't take the rejection as an L because we don't fit the bill. We keep it moving. But you have a lot of women who get rejected and they got the audacity to say, well, why do you feel this way? Why don't you feel this way? Go get someone who fits the bill like we do.
Right.
And stop fearing being alone or simping out or simpetting out because you're worried about some delusional autopsy that says that's the cause of your death. It ain't like that. So in the case you described, Sir General, she has the right to make the laundry list. It's up to you if you want to either simp out and accept it, retrain her mind or keep it moving.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Good point, brother. Because I have a preference, doesn't mean that I'm going to get the preference that I'm asking for if it's unrealistic. And so I kind of want to let's get unrealistic, right? Let's talk about the men now. Let's bring the men to the core.
All right. Okay. All right.
You know, you have men out here, and I'm gonna start with Zacchaeus with this one. You have men out here who, let's just keep it real, don't have a job, but they want a woman who's a 10. Zacchaeus, is that asking for too much?
Well, just the same way how I'm sorry.
How? Hold on, bro. How?
Okay. Just the same way how they have some women that are delusional, they have some men that are delusional too. It's like this.
Absolutely.
I've met men that they don't have a job. They don't want to work. When they see you, they want you to give them money. But they want to have a woman. They want to date a woman, they want to have a woman, and they're trying to talk to a woman. You ever seen that dude begging on the street? And he's like,
Zacchaeus, not just any woman, a 10.
A 10. Yeah, a woman that's put together physically as well as mentally, too. Well, see, he wants that woman. Like I said before, they have some guys that are, just like some women are delusional, they got some men that are just as equally delusional, too. And he ain't contribute. He won't. He's they got some men that are, they're dreamers, lazy. You tell them about reaching their goals, and they dream to you about what they want to do, and then when you see them in 5 years, they're still in the same corner. They're still doing the same thing that they told you that they're going to do 5 years ago. But yet they want a woman that's maybe like a Ashanti. They want a woman that's Kim Kardashian. They want a woman that's Beyonce. They want a
Kelly Rowland.
Kelly Rowland. They want a woman. Waka Flocka's ex-wife. They want a woman like that. They want a woman like that. She got to be, oh man, you know, she can't have no, she have to have the money to provide them. They have to have the money because not only they look at her looks, Ray. Not only that they look at her looks, they look about, you know what they would ask her? How much money you make? Like in other words, she's about to bring all the assets to the table to provide for him, so he can be comfortable. Those are the same guys that if they're ever going out with a woman, and she's making a whole lot of money. She's a nurse. A nurses make good money, or a teacher, they make good money. And he has all the time in the world to be around her. He lies to her and say, I'm getting a job. But yet he borrows her car, takes her money, sit home and play video games. And he got some guys that are young guys, maybe 21.
Baby boy
syndrome, sit at home, play video games all day long, watch the latest, they're up to all the seasons on Netflix and everything. All the latest seasons they're up to on Netflix and everything. But yet, they're online looking for a queen. Dude ain't got a job. He ain't got a pot to piss in. Okay, he got a job, but yet he's looking, searching for a queen and critiquing. Oh, that's your woman. That's you telling you. Let's say you're dating a woman. Hey, she has a little weight. Oh, I would never date her. She's too big. Dude ain't got a job. Not even the not so attractive woman will want to date him. He's lagging and leaning on somebody to provide for him. Lagging and leaning, and he's a smoocher. He sees you, sees a woman struggling, working hard, asking her for money. Oh, I think you're very beautiful, very attractive. But by the way, you got some money you could loan me for the day, man. I mean, yeah. And then there might be one of you. I can't hang up with boys like that. No. There's too much to do. But they're delusional because that's the kind of, but they're looking for these, like you said, these 10 women, these women that's class 10. And they look for that. And they sit, they're probably still, like I said before, not working, don't have a job, don't have an income coming in, but yet they want the best looking woman that's making all the money. There's those type of brothers too. Yeah. Serious. Yeah.
I'm gonna hand it to Ray, but I'm gonna give Ray a little more to kind of expand. I know I mentioned no job. When I mean no job, I simply just mean no income, no resources, or nothing contribute to a relationship that man may want. And just talking about unrealistic standards that men may have in the dating field that women have viable complaints about. Go ahead, Ray.
Again, gentlemen, it all goes back to choice. Now, yes, the delusion is real amongst those type of men, and we're going to stick to that since that's the subject matter right now. Delusion's real. But
yes,
the fact that he is in a dismal position and he's still shooting that high, all right, it's unrealistic, but if the lady who is a 10 does not have the brains enough to say, nah, brother, when you improve, you know, then we can talk. I'm talking to the brother that ain't doing nothing. If he is thinking to get an external event, if she lacks self-worth and lacks common sense, he will get her. Look, a convict years ago impregnated 4 correction officers. What chance do I have? Come on, man. So I hate to say it, there are some possibilities. So I don't bring that up as an inspirational point. I'm being real about it. This did happen. I'm not making this up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a lady out there who knows she looks good, who is a 10 by external standards, and is attempting to get to a 10 by internal standards, I'm talking integrity, your mentality, your heart-wise. Know your worth. Don't settle. Just like we as the aspiring gentlemen or the actual gentlemen are doing our best not to settle, you don't settle either. There is no such thing as perfection amongst human beings. But use some common sense. When you know better, you do better. And I'm not saying that the lazy brother should be completely dismissed. He should be advised. He should be lifted. But if he chooses to forego the upliftment that he's receiving, leave him alone, move on to something better.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely correct. And yes, we have seen very interesting scenarios where, yes, the man who has nothing gets everything. Well, from his perspective, as far as the ladies, you know, because there is something that he may not have the financial means, but there is something that he has that these particular women want and fall to. And that's very true.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes,
just yes, like we have yes, men yes. who are simps, just like we have men who are simps, you know, we have women who are, you know, simps too, I guess, you know, but, you know,
yes,
simpets. Yes, simpets, right? And I would say, when you look at women's quote unquote horror stories of dating, I'd say a lot of women are simpets more than they want to admit because because they are horrible. I said this on an old show. I believe that most women have horrible taste when it comes down to it. I believe that a lot of women are lying on the internet and talking about what they want, the six-figure man, the 6'8" man, and all this other stuff. Okay? With a, you know, I believe a lot of those, these women are actually capping, if you ask me, because you speak to those same women, and you know what happens to these same women? At some point in their singlehood, they're single for too long, and then they get hot and they get bothered.
Wow.
And when they get hot and bothered, they call somebody.
Yeah.
And Pookie's on his way. Actually, Pookie either got to ride the bus, right? Or if he lives in a city where there's not public transit, he's asking for a ride for her to pick up or for her to send an Uber. For her to send him an Uber. There are women out here who have put a lot of financial investment into making sure that Uber and Lyft is a Fortune 500 business. For the Pookie that they wanted to come over because they had their standards too high, but at some point they got in their bed, it was cold, and they got lonely, and they compromised their quote unquote unrealistic standards for a night of pleasure. And so I think a lot, right. So a lot of women don't qualify for these rich men, and we all know that you don't get to wait at the finish line and pick the winner. No, the winner picks who he wants. He picks the prize. Yeah, and secondly, when you think about it, if a woman wants said man that has everything in the world, other women want him too. Zacchaeus to this. Other women want him too. And at the end of the day, for the sake of the argument, wouldn't that make him the prize? You know, let's just keep it real. You know what I'm saying? But I also want to say this, right? Because, you know, we talked about women with unrealistic standards. I mean, you've had women who are like real fat. I mean, we talk about 600 pound like fat. You know what I'm saying? They talk about men who's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in Predator 1. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's unrealistic. They want a man who's built like like Stallone and Rambo. That's not gonna happen. But some would say, right, but in some small corners that has happened. But here's my thing, right? I will say this though, for men, for being unrealistic, right? Whatever level you're at, your expectations have to be okay. You have to know who you are in this dating marketplace. Right. And that goes for men and women. And for the most part, the question that I want to ask men, or men should ask themselves, is, can you get what you're asking for? And if you can get it, can you maintain it? Ray, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, you're right. Those are two good questions. Can you get what you're asking for, and once you get it, can you maintain it? That comes with a search inside self. And you have to be honest with self when it comes to those two poignant questions. Because, look, let's face facts here, gentlemen. What we may not have realized in our youth, and this is not conceit, it's proven. We have been overqualified for a lot of women who rejected us. And it doesn't mean we think we're better than them. The fact is, they know you're better than they are. Because let's think about it. A lot of women who we liked, whether it be the external standpoint only or the whole package, that did not pick up, that did not end up with us, most of them did not do better than us. Very few of them did. So as far as being able to handle what you get, and once you get it, maintaining it, to either maintain or increase, you have to look inside self and be honest and ask yourself, are you truly ready for that type of challenge? Are you truly ready to be an asset and not just the first three letters of the word? Are you ready to really go forward and go forth? Not just with your mate, but as the individual first.
Checkmate.
Because when you're when you can answer that question, even if it's a potential yes, because you know your worth and you know that you're willing to go the extra mile to be able to get what you want and maintain what you get. If you're true to yourself and you do the best you can, then it's gravy. But if you lie to yourself, what you're only doing is you're creating havoc. You're not being real with yourself. And unfortunately, you're going to be the bad reflection on who your mate is because you weren't honest. And that goes for both men and women when it comes to that type of challenge. So it's up to you. Just be honest with self. And if you can't handle what you get, and if you can't maintain and increase whatever it is once you got it, you have to be real with self. You have to look in that mirror and determine if you're ready yet. And if you're not ready, it's okay. Go find out how to get ready. It's never too late. But don't waste anybody's time and don't waste your time if you're not ready to receive what you get or maintain and increase whatever it is you get.
Wow.
Zacchaeus.
Yes. And I think, and it goes back to what you would allow into your life. What you allow really is what you allow and what you in your self-worth and what you're really in, who you, what toxicity, if you allow toxics to come into your life too. So they have they got some people, man, and really, they got some people. Now, and I've seen this too in my lifetime. I've seen women buy the Pookie and Ray Ray, their whole wardrobe, buy all their clothes, pay for their haircuts. And then when they're at work, he ain't working. She's working. Here's the keys to the car. He drives around all day. And has the audacity, hear this now, to have another girl in the car. Her car that she paid for. Dude not looking for a job. He's busy driving around, picking up another chick, spending all her money while she's busy slaving at her job. And that's a true definition of a simpist. And she's been doing this for a long time. For a very long time. So they have some women that their self-worth is, it's not even a penny. Because I've seen a lot of women over the years, a lot of sisters over the years with men like that. And you want to, and you'll be like, you scratch your head sometimes, you're like, what? Excuse. And you wonder, like, okay, at the time when I was single, I'm single, but yet you. And you scratch your head, you're like, wait a minute. Am I missing something?
I know the feeling, Zacchaeus. Remember, a mutual friend of ours, God rest his soul, chose a jailbird over me.
Yes. Oh, yes. And fifth, Some women, they get attracted to men on top.
Hey, bro, come on now, dog.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
They get attracted to that. And if you're comfortable, you know what? And some of them feel comfortable with that. Now, if you're a man that's have integrity, a man that shows stability, mentally you're there, to them that's weird. For some apparent reason, it's weird to them. It's weird. And you're like, wait a minute. No lie. This was years ago, before I was married, of course. No lie. Woman said, you're working and you, I wasn't, you know, I had my head on my shoulders. I always have my head on my shoulders. He said, you kind of weird. But yeah, she's running around with a dude, and she got him. I mean, financially, she got him. Dude just came to me, said that, listen, she bought my shoes. I'm like, you think I bought all this? I didn't buy all this. My girl did. And it's like what you said, Ray, is like what you tolerate. If you tolerate being a simpus and your self-worth is low, you're not going to appreciate a brother that has integrity. You're not going to appreciate a brother that will treat you like a queen, like you want to be like a queen. You're not going to tolerate it. You know what I mean? You're not going to. You won't be able to handle it. And this is why a lot of men are single. And this is why a lot of some women are single too, because they have people that their self-worth is like, that was not even worth, it's not worth a dime. You know what I mean? So, You treat them like a queen is like, legitimate, you're scaring me. You ever heard that term? You're scaring me now. You're treating her the way she ought to be treated, but so she's comfortable in the abuse, in the toxicity. Yep. She's comfortable, and she's comfortable with
it's the too good to be true method.
Yeah, too good to be true, man. You're too good to be true. Why are you so kind to me? Why are you so nice to me? Fifth, you probably heard it while you was dating, over your years of dating.
Yes, I have. Yes,
yeah. Yeah, like why are you doing this? Why am I doing? What do you mean? Why I'm doing this? If you ever date or run into a woman that says, "Hey, you're treating her like a queen," and I will tell the young guy this: if she asks you why you're doing this, run, because she's gonna treat you like crap. She is, because she's not used to that. She's not used to that. She's not used to that kind of treatment. So it's what you tolerate. You know?
Well, that's a red flag. Yeah, that's a red flag when a woman tells. When things are going well, here's the thing. When things are going well in a relationship and the woman says, I believe this is too good to be true.
Yeah.
There's a level of trauma or toxicity that she may have came from in her last relationship. Yes. And that will blow up in your face. No, you don't want that. That's a red flag. Keep it moving. You don't want nobody like that.
Oh, no.
Because
no,
she's
no.
already spoken in bad faith. You don't want a woman and women... For the women out there, you don't want a man either who comes into a relationship in bad faith.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Bad faith? Oh, shoot. No.
You don't want that.
No.
And you don't.
No.
Yeah. I'm gonna come with another question. Yeah, let's do this, right? So can a man who is there such thing as a man being, even after knowing your self-worth, cool, but depending on the level that the man is at, is there such thing as a man being too picky? Go ahead, Ray.
I mean, you know, it is possible. But I think that, you know, if you're talking about a man who knows his worth, got all his together and knows what he wants, there's no such thing as being too picky. He's being wisely selective. because the thing is, you know, they said that about women too, about women being too picky. But no, he's being wisely selective, because what he's looking for is the complement to the glove he has in his hand. You know, you fit like hand in glove. So he's looking for someone to compliment him. So you can have all the baddies in the world that externally look good, and then you may have like the average women who have who showed their worth as a wife before becoming a wife. Those are the ones he's gonna pick. Because the worst thing, one of the worst things that can happen is when a future spouse says they're gonna wait till they get married to prove to you the spouse they always was. No. Me personally, I've been a spouse since I was 6 years old. And what that means is I've always envisioned marriage and being happily married and at peace since I was 6 years old. It didn't take me to the day I got married and I finally became a husband. No, legally I did. But I was a husband for 21 years before that happened. The point I'm making is when you know better, you do better. And even though I've had my share of mistakes, and Zacchaeus knows I've had my share of misadventures and crazy. When you reach that point, as a lady, as a gentleman, aspiring or actual, you're being selective. You're not being picky. Picky is when you look at the immediate negative of a person. It could be minimal, and you say, "Oh no, that's it." That minimal thing that may not be a detriment to you for the rest of your life, you're going to let that overshadow the other outstanding qualities that they have. If you repeatedly do that, then that's being unwisely picky. But if you're looking for the person, the lady who is the lady of the word, the lady of caliber, and the lady who understands what being a helpmeet is or is willing to learn, you're being selective.
Yeah.
Good perspective. Zacchaeus, same question. Is there such as men being too picky when it comes to dating standards?
That's a good question. I like that question. It's like this. Some men see red flags and they keep it pushing, right? Now, some men ignore red flags and they go on because a lot of us men, let's face it, a lot of us men look at the beauty and we concentrate on that booty. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
A lot of us, we get dumbfounded by the beauty and hypnotized by the beauty, and we ignore the red flags. And I believe that a person should, because of this, I believe a man should be selective. Women are selective all the time. So I believe a man should be selective, because when you put yourself in a relationship and you ignore the red flags, you're in for a wild ride. If you're not selective and you just choose any random woman to date and the wife, you're in for a wild ride. Because there's a lot of dramas, a lot of history of men being destroyed totally, women being destroyed totally because they were not selective, and men being destroyed not only financially, but also with their life being snuffed out because they were not selective. They didn't take precaution or move wisely. Do you know much men that got dating because of dating a woman and they were not selective? They got ambushed by other men and they're not here no more because they were not selective. They got some people that ignore red flag. You notice she's a hot wire. She's beautiful. She's sexy looking. Oh my goodness. Oh Lord. Biscuits and buttercream. But you ignore some of the signs because you're not selective.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Yeah. Or some of the signs. You're like, oh, you feel so good. When you hug you feel so good. But She's alive while I am. And you know what the Bible says? It's good for, it's better the man being alone than to be with a scornful woman.
That's right.
Okay? So if you, if you're not selective,
yeah,
I believe in being selective. Why? Because life is short, right? And,
yeah,
when you want to be living, and this is a choice that we make too. When you want to, when you're older, live a life of peace or misery. It's a choice that you make. Now, they have people that ignore the peace. They just push peace aside. They look at her beauty. And the men, they just get in and it's like, listen. Oh, and another thing too. We're adults here. I can say it. The sex is good. Oh, it's so good. Good, right? Make your toes curl. Kind of sex, right?
Boomerang.
She's fussy. She's argumentative. She's fussy. At a drop of a dime, she's willing to bite your head off. Argumentative. Moody. How many? If you met women that are moody, I'm sure you did. And Ray, I know you did already.
Absolutely.
Moody as I don't know what. And fussy. But these are the red flags that some men ignore. And then I'm a neighbor and I'm hearing all the arguments that happen next door. There's so much arguments, throwing plates, throwing forks at you. And you're like, and you wonder yourself, you go to sleep as a man and you're like, I made a mistake. Because I made a mistake. The things that we ignore turn around and bite us at the end. Because we're not selective. We look at other things, you know. And it's crazy. I think somebody I knew ignored signs and ignored a whole lot of signs and his woman run him over with a car. Argumentative. If you argue with a woman every day, and she's not even married to her, but you're arguing every day for every little whatever the thing is, and you ignore her because she's cute, short, and you know the lovemaking is good. It's on you. It's on you. Yeah. So going back to the question, yes. Yeah. Good to be selective. It's good to be selective because if you're not, you ignore the red flags. It's fair game. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have seen, and listen, I'm only 36, but even in my lifetime, we have seen on television, on a mainstream scale, Jenny Jones, Ricky Lake, Oprah, and not in this order. And just to name a few, they have celebrated women for being selective.
Yeah.
The only thing a man was celebrated for being selective is about his favorite sports team and his favorite player.
Mm.
Because we didn't have those platforms that they had about that in the dating game.
Right.
What we saw was a lot of men get condemned on the mainstream on these television shows. And this is why you have women now on the internet angry that men are finally waking up and speaking out. But what they don't understand is men had to eat that and suffer in silence at home because they had their mothers, their aunts, their grandmothers watching these programs, soap operas and all of that, all putting down a man.
Yep.
And young men have grew up with that image and it affected them and how they operate and how they see themselves as men, and they ended up with a low self-esteem, and they've accepted that what Ray was talking about. You know, there's an upbringing to this thing that puts a man in a situation to where he doesn't know his self-worth. You know why? Because he grew up in a household where it wasn't even taught. He didn't even see it. You know?
Yes.
And so, at a disadvantage. I love this episode so much, but we're going to have to wrap it up. But I want to do one more, and then we're going to sign off, okay? Okay. So how are we going to do this? I had it in my head and it lost me, but okay. What you hear, and this may lead into another topic for another show, what you often hear is what's being told to the man is by the woman who wants said man, I need him to have his stuff together, right? Right? Then when you ask that woman, well, what about you? Oh, he needs to accept me for who I am.
I beg your pardon?
Audio for that.
I beg your pardon?
So, that's an example of women asking for too much, you know, but what would you say to the man? What would you say to a young man? Because, you know, I saw an episode of Martin, and when Martin let Gina go, and the one thing that an older brother said in there was old fools used to be young fools. Okay. So then let's say maybe certain men of a certain age are set in their ways, right?
Yeah.
Ray, what would be your advice to a young man to his approach to dating and vetting properly so that his self-esteem is not attacked by asking for too much?
Wow. Well, that's a heck of a question. Yeah, you actually stopped that one. I got to think for 3 seconds. You know, in this day and age, but no, it's just that, you know,
no, go ahead, Ray.
It's just that growing up, when I was 16 years old, I had 2 special mentors who took me under their wing and schooled me in ways my parents couldn't. And that's not a knock on my parents. I'm just being realistic. And they did the best they could to school me as to what was happening then in the 90s and what's to come. And the truth is, I had to go through a whole lot of BS from a social standpoint to fully understand who I am. Because the fact of the matter is, if we just proceed with life only going through the good times, we're not learning anything and we're not growing in any way. We're just sitting back, you know, living the good life, living the club life without a care in the world. We're not growing. So what I would advise the young man is, I would tell the young man is that you're going to have to experience certain hurts to truly understand how to proceed and progress with life. Now, what you should do from those hurts is gain wisdom, gain knowledge, and gain experience. And you have to remember, you have to stand on your own 2 feet in life. Because when you die, you die alone. That woman is not going to be in the grave with you. But in the meantime, you do what you need to do to cherish yourself. And if you are religious, you know, God first, of course, then yourself, then everybody else comes next. So the point I'm making is I would advise him, you know, be the best person you can in any role. Focus on building yourself, focus on building your wealth, and in due time, the desires of your heart will come, some will go, but learn from that, and never get stuck on stupid, never stop growing. But at the same time, you have to face the adversities, whether it be social, whether it be business, when you go through these adversities and grow, you'll know how to thrive.
Yes.
Wow. Ooh, Zacchaeus, same question.
What would I advise a young man? What would I advise a young man to do or move in these times, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I would advise a young man to take his time when it comes to relationships. The reason why I will say take your time, don't rush it, enjoy your youth. Don't rush it. Even for a man that's in his 20s, don't rush to get married, don't rush a relationship. Because it takes a lot of steps to build yourself up. It takes a lot of steps to build your finances up. It takes a lot of steps to deep work on your health. Because why? Because, and I always say this, going back to if you're a person that's been through a lot of trauma in your life growing up, and you haven't mentally, that's why there's a lot of mental ill people out there, and you haven't mentally healed from that, and then you want to enter in a relationship, it's going to cause that, it causes damage a lot of times to you and the person that you're with. And because of that, I would tell this young man to say, listen, first, seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the Lord first spiritually, because if you take care of your spiritual man, you'll be able to take care of the rest. If you pray and seek God first, you'll be able to handle your mental health, which is a big thing right now. A lot of people dealing with the mental health issues. And also you'll be able to focus on what you need to do step by step in order to you to get to the next plateau and bring in another person into your life. What a lot of people do is they bring other people into their life, but they're not ready yet. And I learned from that. I learned that, okay, I'm not ready. I jump into a relationship and it becomes a catastrophe. I was not ready yet. A lot of mistakes that we make in life, some people jump and get married and they're not ready yet. So I would tell him to take your time. Don't let nobody rush you, pressure you. Remember, women got a biological clock. You don't. Once you build yourself up, of course we're all going to make mistakes. No one is perfect to build up to be a perfectionist. But take care of other things you got to take care of in life, and then you'll be able to select a wife. Because let's face it, a lot of confusion happens when you're broken. And when you're broken and you're hurt, a lot of drama, whether you're in the streets, whether at home growing up, there may be some, you've had a toxic relationship with your parents, your parents went through some toxic, and you've seen a lot of stuff that you shouldn't have seen, and you experienced a lot of things, and now you want to jump into and then let's say you've been dating somebody and you're hurt from that relationship, and you want to jump into another relationship. I've seen people rush relationships. In other words, they'll break up with somebody. Guy will break up with somebody, and then jump in, and next 2-3 months, you jump into another relationship. Take your time. Don't let nobody rush you and pressure you. Don't take your time. And then when you take your time, you'll be able to select the right person for you. Just take your time. Don't rush anything. Because when you rush, that's when you make the biggest mistakes. So it can be a good lesson, but sometimes some mistakes that you make, you can't. The bad thing about some mistakes you make is that you cannot correct them because it's too late. Some mistakes that you make is too late. Like, let's say, for instance, she got you in jail. You didn't do anything to her, but she got you in jail. You can't correct it. Now you have a record. You can't correct that. or she got you in some kind of drama. Hard to get out of it. You can't correct that. So, young man, take your time and, yes, be selective. That's all I got to say. Yes. Take your time. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, all right. I don't have anything to add to it. I had fun just moderating this show.
Yes.
But I do want to still give final thoughts, an opportunity for final thoughts, because those were like final thought responses. But if there's anything additional to the final thought that you would like to add to summarize the whole show, you definitely have that opportunity, and I'm going to give that opportunity first to Ray.
Thank you, gentlemen. I believe that as aspiring gentlemen or actual gentlemen in this day and age, especially with the home training we had and the intentions that we have when it comes to relationships, when it comes to marriage, no, we're not asking for too much. It's just, no, because the thing is what we ask for, what we would like to have is for what we are capable of effectively delivering. It goes back to the biblical golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I think the problem with relationships and marriages is that peace and the biblical golden rule are non-factors. Now, if you have that as the benchmark to your growth as an individual and in relationships, then neither the lady or the gentleman is asking for too much, because they would only ask for what they themselves as individuals can give to the other person and can maintain within themselves and within the relationship. So are men asking for too much? Maybe the Pookies and Ray Rays are, but to those of us who know what we want and have our head up straight, no, we're not asking for too much. We are just asking for what we are capable of effectively delivering.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes.
Zacchaeus.
Yes. Ray, it was definitely an honor having you on. Thank you for blessing us with your presence on our show.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Zach.
Yes. Words from the wisdom, words from the wise. Thank you so much for blessing us with your presence. And really appreciate it, man. And yeah, people need to hear it. So those who are listening, share this content, share it. I know it's words of wisdom. Share it if you can. Share it, because some people need to hear it. Some people need to hear it and meditate on this content that we had today, and just share it. We really, really appreciate it. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So we're gonna get up out of here, Ray. Is there anything that you want to promote? Do you want to give out your social media handles or anything? Anything that you want to just let people know
I'll just simply say, those of you who are able to see my whole face despite this mask, y'all know that I do have a Facebook account and I do have a Instagram account, and I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Hey, Zacchaeus, let them know where they can reach you, man.
Yo, Zacchaeus Music on Instagram. Also on Facebook, Wayne Backus 167 on Facebook. Also on TikTok, you know, Wayne Backus Gospel, Wayne Zacchaeus Gospel on TikTok as well. So hit me up, y'all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all can get at me at The Fifth General, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X. All right. This was a, monumental episode. And Ray, we're going to have you back.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So this was another episode. That's what I'm talking about. This was another episode of this CM5 podcast. We'll see y'all next time. Oops, wrong button. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.